we are all being invited, every single gender that there is being invited to reclaim and reawaken the feminine, which is that nourishment, that beauty, that luxury, and understanding how to embody the divine instead of seeing a separation between the divine and the material world.
Welcome, beautiful you, to Girl in Her Moon, the podcast. My name is Jordan, and I invite you to join us as we connect, share our experience, and become one for a moment. From topics like self-worth, creativity, expression, intuition, and soul, to astrology, numerology, tarot, energetics, and more. And then the topics that are undefinable and ungraspable, exploring what it means to be alive, to be rooted in both our divinity and humanness, and returning to the space where they are one. Thank you for being on this journey with us. Hello, beautiful. Welcome to episode 15 of the podcast. We are right now amongst our second eclipse season of 2022. So I'm sure you'll be noticing your own invitations and themes presenting themselves to you. This is a really beautiful episode to understand these collective and individual shifts from an astrological lens. So I hope you enjoy. I also wanted to bring a quick reminder that we are holding an eclipse season sale, so you can get any tarot reading, any astrology reading. You can join our membership or explore our activations with 15% off. Just make sure you use the code ECLIPSE at checkout. We also have a really nurturing ritual for the upcoming solar eclipse in Scorpio inside of the membership. It's called Healing Across Timelines. And as the name suggests, it holds the space for your healing across the timeline of your life. Because when we return to the many inner selves that still live within each of us and we nurture them, we give them what they need, what we needed at that stage in our life, that healing is felt tenfold in the present. This ritual was created for this upcoming Scorpio solar eclipse on the 25th and is available instantly upon signing up to our membership. We have some really magical offerings in place, and it's been such a gift to get to be a part of, I suppose, sharing them with those who can receive the most from them. And so I'd love to invite you to explore our readings and our membership options. And if any of them are calling your name, please don't forget that 15% off with the code ECLIPSE. That code is active until the 25th. So thank you so much for being here. I have so much love for you, and I hope you enjoy the episode ahead.
Hi, Georgia. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Hi, Jordan. Actually, I have some news for you that is actually kind of my eclipse story that I wanted to share with you in the audience that has to do with my name.
Yes, please.
Okay, so my birth name is Melissa, or Melissa, if you say it in just American English. And so I was called Melissa for all of my childhood, until I was 18, and I deeply hated my name. It always felt like it wasn't my name, and I wanted to find, you know, a way to alter it so that it was more me, but it never felt right. And then when I moved to New York City when I was 18 and went to college, some girls across the hall had come over to say hi. And because it was the first day of school, you just said your name and where you're from. And I mostly grew up in South Carolina, but the last 2 years of high school, I lived in Georgia. So I said, hi, I'm Melissa, and I'm from Georgia. And later they came back over to ask me to go out with them that night. And they were like, hey, Georgia, do you want to come have a drink? And I was like, oh no, my name is Melissa. I'm just from Georgia. And they were like, no, your name's Georgia. And I was like, oh, I like that. And it just stuck and it felt right. Like I was like, oh my God, that's me. And so for the next 18 years, I was called Georgia and I had my whole New York City life and design career life and all of it as Georgia. And it felt a little edgier and a little rougher and harder and a little more like me. And, but my given name, Melissa, when it's said in Spanish is Melissa. And my grandmother, whenever she would say my name, that's how it was said. And I felt like if I ever were to have a child, a daughter, that I would name them Isabella and call them Isa. And it was always just my favorite name. And recently I realized that inside of Melissa is Isa. And so it felt like my, you know, from an astrology lens, which actually feels so amazingly overlapped because, and really has to do with eclipses because it's about the nodes. Mm-hmm. And a nodal cycle is 18 and a half years. And your nodes are about your destiny. And it's about birthing. Like when we are soul incarnating, we birth through the ecliptic path, which is the nodes. That's the portal between worlds. And so that's why the nodes are about your destiny and are also about your karma and your past. And so for 18 years, you know, my parents birthed me and I was Melissa. And then for the next 18 years, friends rebirthed me and I was Georgia. And I've never had a child. And I've come to realize as I'm about to have my next nodal return, when I turn 37 in a couple of months, that it's time for me to really birth myself. And especially because my nodes, my north node is in Taurus, and this is about, and it's in my fourth house of home. And this is a lifetime of me really coming home to me and understanding who I am, which has been a really existential crisis question guiding my life. And so I'm like, wow, I'm Isa. That's my chosen name, honoring my heritage and connecting mm-hmm. myself to that, because Georgia just felt way too anglicized mm-hmm. and kept me disconnected from my Latinx culture. I'm Puerto Rican. And so, yeah. And I also, as a non-binary cis woman, I've gone by she, they for a long time because it's always been really challenging for me to call myself a woman mm-hmm. and to own that. But I also felt very privileged and honored to be a woman in this lifetime. And so I kept she as one of my pronouns. But I've come to realize that I'm really want to honor the sacred opportunity that happens to be my non-binary genderqueer status as a cis woman. And I really want to honor that with they, them. So now I am fully going through they, them pronouns and mm-hmm. my name's Isa. So what a loaded question. Oh, okay. We're just saying my name, but yeah, some news. So you'll, yeah, I guess people will be getting to know me as Isa now.
Welcome to the world, Isa. I love the way you put that together. It's a real rebirth by you, for you. I got like full body chills through that whole thing. And it's such a beautiful name as well.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, it's been a real sort of new embodiment and new coming in and part of this really big eclipse energy that's going through my world, really mm-hmm. strongly reorchestrating life as I thought I knew it mm-hmm. and certainly wanting to bring in different things than my ego had intended. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's a big time of change. So yeah. I'm so honored to get to share that story with you.
I'm so honored to receive it. I feel like almost congratulations.
It does feel kind of like amazing somehow.
Yeah, it really, really does. It feels huge. And I'm not lying. My whole body was lit up with like goosebumps. Like, welcome. Congratulations. This is amazing. And I love that it got to really tie in with the energy of this episode, which is all about eclipse season.
We are entering the portal. It just opened up. This past weekend in the Aries full moon.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, we are officially in it.
And so this is our second eclipse season of this year?
Exactly. Yeah, there's always two seasons a year.
And it's in the same, we're in the same, on the same nodal axis as, what was it, April, May?
Yes. So this will be our second full eclipse package in the Scorpio Taurus axes. The north node is in Taurus and the south node is in Scorpio. And so that lasts for 18 months.
Mm-hmm. So we're moving into next year with this energy.
Yeah, we'll be in this nodal axes until July of 2023. So the next eclipse season is in spring. It'll be like April, May of 2023. So that one will begin to start having the Aries Libra nodes coming in, but we will still have some Taurus Scorpio. So we'll be in that shift point.
And I know that this isn't the most like simple question to answer, but if we could like return to basics with just like what is an eclipse for those new to astrology.
Absolutely. So basically, when we're talking about eclipses, we're talking about three different relationships. We're talking about the sun, the moon, and the earth and their relationship to each other. So when the earth is moving around the sun, it does that on what's called the ecliptic. So we've got the sun obviously in the center of the solar system, and the earth is going around that on the ecliptic. Mm-hmm. Then in the earth, we have the moon going around the earth. And so that orbital path, when it intersects with the earth's path around the sun, we have what is called an eclipse. And that's because there's an alignment between those two orbital paths. Mm-hmm. The one that's going around the earth and the other one that's going around the sun. So there's two 26-day periods a year where that alignment or eclipse can happen. And within that 26-day period, that's what you hear astrologers call the eclipse season. Mm-hmm. And within a season, it depends within each of them. You can have 2 to 3 eclipses that can happen each time. And they can be a partial or a total eclipse. And that's a lunar eclipse or a solar eclipse. So when you're looking at the earth, if you're focusing in the geocentric fashion, which is from the earth's perspective, when the moon is in between the earth and the sun, you have a solar eclipse. And when it's the moon and then the earth seems like it's in the way of the sun, then you have the lunar eclipse. So it's just the relationship between those three bodies, and which one is going in front of the other, whether it's that lunar or solar. And it'll either happen on the north node of the moon or the south node of the moon. Like that intersection will happen on one of those two points in the nodal axes. And the nodal axes is just where that the moon is crossing the earth path around the sun. So yeah, it's a little bit complicated. Diagrams definitely help you understand it better. It's a little hard to talk about just in space, I think, for most of us. But you can just know that you know, it's the relationship between the sun, the moon, and the earth, and the way in which they travel around in space, basically. And that is where astronomy and astrology 100% agree. That is a physical, actual thing happening.
Yeah. I think you did a really good job at explaining that without images to point to and without space and directions available to you. So good job.
Great. I hope somebody understood that. Yeah.
I think if anyone just Googles an image of an eclipse taking place, if you just Google like eclipse astronomy, which I've done many times, that will just drop all of those words into understanding. What about from a more soul felt astrological perspective, how do you perceive the event of an eclipse or eclipse season?
Yeah. Well, so when we're looking at eclipse season, we're thinking about these cycles of development. You know, when the nodes are transiting, we're seeing sort of like an arc line of our evolutionary growth process. And so when also for like some people, a particular eclipse will be very, very impactful and you'll super know what's going on. And for other people, it might be more subtle, you know, and that's the same thing for any full moon or new moon or anything that has to do with any kind of aspect that's happening in this moment. It, depending on how that aspect is in relationship to any of your natal aspects, the birth chart that you were born with, that's when it's going to really be noticed by you versus when it'll be more subtle. So like if this eclipse, if you were born, for instance, with your north or south node in Taurus or Scorpio, you're going to feel this a lot more than other people will. And then if it's on any of the angles. So like if, so this eclipse that's happening on October 25th is going to be, let me just double check the degree on this. So that one is going to be at 13 degrees and 22 minutes of Taurus and Scorpio. So if you have 13 degrees on any of the planets in your chart, you're really going to feel it strongly. Or if that's any of your axes. So like if it's your ascendant, your descendant, your IC or your MC, like if it's in any of those points in the chart, or is an aspect, meaning that there's other things at 13 degrees in your chart, then like other planets that are at those degrees, then you're going to feel this really strongly. And what you're going to feel strongly is some big disruptions in your life. And disruptions, you know, don't inherently mean anything bad, but it's about kind of getting out of the predictable, known part of your life. Because at that ego level, we want consistency, we want reliability, we want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, we want to know that we're safe, ultimately, is what that's about. And then from a soul level, we want growth, we want change, we want to evolve, we want to keep going deeper into our process. So they're intrinsically at odds with each other. And so eclipses come through, as I was saying, we are birthed through the ecliptic. The eclipse, like that particular intersection of those two orbital paths, is where life comes through and where it exits. And so because that, and that's why you'll hear that a portal has opened. And so, yes, this is, the portal is open. That 26-day period is where life from the soul comes through and enters into the egoic world of the earth and our physical reality, and it shapeshifts things so that we're more aligned with what the soul is desiring for our lives, and the ego gets a little bit less choice or a little less power during that period. And if you're super aligned with what your soul wants, then it'll be a whole lot less disruptive than if you're really off course. Mm-hmm. Or maybe we're just hitting an expiration on something, not to say that you were doing the wrong thing and now it's getting taken away from you. Maybe it's just expired and you weren't ready to let it go, but it has hit its expiration point. And, you know, and so the eclipse energy was really feared by the ancients because they couldn't really understand like why 2 times a year we'd get these like currents of change. Mm-hmm. You know, Uranus, the planet Uranus, that sudden, quick, instant change is a very similar energy to eclipse energy. And so it's this disruptive force that will instantly change things with your karmic and evolutionary path. And then the next 6 months will be the reorchestration time where now you're putting all of the pieces back together. You're getting on this new flow, this new change. And then the next eclipse season will come in and it'll give another wave for the next 6 months. And so, you know, this, anything that you feel like you need to rely upon is probably what's going to get the adjustment or the change so that you can break forward into, you know, more power, more of your own power. Because it's like, mm-hmm. if we're really feeling like we need that to survive, then we've given our power away to whatever that is. So, you know, our soul's like, no, you got this. You can do this yourself, especially with Taurus as our north node, mm-hmm. because Taurus is about self-sufficiency.
Well, let's go in that direction then. How would you explore Taurus and Scorpio together? Like where would you take us in that realm of the invitations present, of the comforts perhaps that we're unrooting from?
Yeah. So when we're looking at the North Node, we're looking at the future. We're looking about what's opening up. And we're looking at the higher octaves of that sign. So when we're looking at Taurus, we are talking about Venusian things. Venus rules Taurus. And so we're talking about our bodies, love, money, worthiness, deservingness, being able to be rooted and to know that you are self-sufficient, self-reliant, that you are inwardly resourceful, and that you are your own resource. And we're really understanding value, like my values, like what brings purpose and meaning to my life, also like feeds into, in modern capitalist society, our money. And, you know, what am I exchanging my energy for? How much am I worth in my job? And so, you know, money can really be on the table with value and what that connection to worthiness is. And what you spend your money on is something that you value that matters to you. Maybe you spend a lot of money on organic food because you want to support the sustainability of the earth and your own body, and you see the connection, and money happens to be that link of exchange. So you're kind of looking at all of those pieces when we're talking about the Taurus North Node, and things that can be shifting for you. So, you know, the way in which you make your money might change right now. The way that you learn how to be more self-reliant, the way that you, you know, this is a time where relationships can be highly affected, because when we're in the Taurus Scorpio axes, we're in the survival axes and we're in the power and powerlessness axes. And when we have Taurus in the North Node, our power is coming from our own self-reliance. Mm-hmm. And the South Node is the lower octave of that sign. So for Scorpio, the lower octaves are around giving our power away to other people or things outside of ourselves in order to feel safe and okay and that we can survive. So maybe you're in a really dependent relationship right now that could potentially leave you if there are codependency issues or even abuse. You know, Scorpio is about letting go. And so, you know, the endings of things, it's that expiration point where things need to be leaving the life. It's a death phase. So there can be a lot of endings happening for people right now. And those endings are there so that they can come into a deeper sustenance and peace within themselves, which is the North Node in Taurus. Taurus is peace. Scorpio is chaos. So, you know, all of those ways where we are coming into chaos in our lives, particularly within our psychological realms. Taurus is more in that physical space where Scorpio is in the psychological realm. So we're really wanting to understand the inner workings of our mental and emotional systems that either create dependency or self-reliance, and kind of playing back and forth and understanding, you know, what needs to leave or what is the block inside my own mental and emotional system that's keeping me from being self-reliant. So we can really be tested on those kinds of topics and being able to let go of control, manipulation, what else is Scorpio? Like all of these different kinds of ways that we feel in scarcity ultimately. Yeah. So that's kind of what's getting let go of on the South Node side of it.
You mentioned earlier that people with aspects, so any planets at 13 degrees, and then those with the nodal axis on Scorpio and Taurus are going to probably feel these quite profoundly. And so you've got your nodal axis, Scorpio Taurus, and so do I, but in reverse. And I was just thinking about before we started recording, I said the eclipse season earlier this year has been one of the most obvious, like in my face, like cannot ignore, very powerful eclipse seasons and eclipses that I've ever consciously been through. And I wanted to actually share a little sentence that you wrote on our eclipse season blog that's on the website. So if anyone gets a lot out of reading, Issa has put through, created a really beautiful blog for eclipse season that I would totally recommend reading. But I wanted to read this because it really brings together everything that you said so well. And so it says, "We will be releasing the South Node dependencies emotionally, financially, and psychologically so that you can focus on creating more self-reliance, self-sufficiency, and deeper self-worth through your own efforts and inherent value." And I just love that. I love that we can tune into, like, amongst the feeling of chaos that Scorpio can bring, we can tune into that invitation that is really, like, deeply loving in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it can feel like chaos. It can feel like things perhaps being taken away from you, but there is such a beautiful invitation there. And it's like that light that you can really hold on to and let it support you through all of that movement.
100%. Oh my gosh. Yes. You know, and that's, I think, very much where trust comes in.
Yeah.
And where studying astrology and understanding cycles and where you are in that cycle is very supportive, because otherwise you're just like, oh my God, everything's ending. Things are being taken away from me. You can clench harder, you know, try to control harder, you know, all of the things that you do when you feel like your survival is getting threatened.
Yeah.
You know, what are your triggers when you feel like you're going to be harmed? What comes up for you? Because that is what's going to get triggered now. You know, whatever your survival base instincts are, like, get ready to witness them. And that's the importance of, You know, it's like we have to feel it to heal it. Like you have to allow that to come up so that you can become aware of it, to then actually process it enough to let it go, and then to claim what that higher octave opportunity is. And if you don't know that and you're just kind of in the midst of it, I mean, it can just feel really crazy.
Yeah, and in all of the waves.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And you know, if you're in a 9 year or a 19 year, those are also ages that you're going to feel this in particular, cuz there's that pattern between, cuz it's an 18 and a half year cycle. So if you're like 8 or 9 years old or 18, 19, you're going to feel it, and then just kind of keep adding those numbers up as you get older. So, you know, we have that 9 year difference, which is why I'm having my nodal return and you're having your nodal opposition. Mm-hmm. And so it's the other side of that coin that we're both feeling.
That's very cool. I didn't even put that together. I had a thought when you were speaking, and I'm just trying to bring it back. Oh yeah, we're dealing with such, you know, if you think of survival, scarcity, self-reliancy, I was thinking about this the other day in terms of how deep patterning and, you know, thought patterns, emotions, fears are going to be carried through generations and generations and generations. This is something that was needed by our ancestors to literally stay alive. Mm-hmm. And so it's something that is, like, when I think about transitioning into a new way to relate to self-reliancy and self-sufficiency, that's no small feat. Like, when I think of that, I think of the lines and lines of ancestors that come before me that didn't have the space or the environment to be able to transform that. And I think about how profound that any transformation that does take place will ripple out for generations to come as well. I think it's a huge transformation taking place, and I think you touched on this, but leaning into like safety and trust, for me, that's been the biggest message that was coming up last eclipse season, that is also presenting itself very recently as we step into this eclipse season. Like really leaning into safety within the body, safety within the self, and trust in cycles and trust in life supporting me.
Mm-hmm. 100%, you know, I mean, we have to really realize how limited our perspective is from linear time, space, reality that we understand life in. You know, it's like if we got to pan out and really see the whole picture, it would make sense to us. Mm-hmm. But since we don't have that perspective, then we have the panic that comes in. And, you know, when we don't understand the equation for how things are made on this planet, then we can get really nervous. And even if we do know, you know, like,
yeah.
I mean, like, I know this stuff and it doesn't keep me from completely feeling like worried sometimes, or,
yeah,
you know, oh my God, like everything's falling apart and it's ruined. Like I am a human being. Like I go through all of that all the time. But like, I also have this other perspective that's outside of the standard narrative that tells me this is how a plant grows.
Mm-hmm.
And when you understand that this plant grows this way, and this is the amount of light, this is the amount of sun, this is the amount of, you know, nourishment that it needs, then you just know that it's going to grow into a full blossoming walnut tree, you know, or whatever kind of tree it is. Mm-hmm. And you just know that, even though you can't see when the roots are just going down and it's growing, but it hasn't come over the soil yet. And, you know, but like, you just know that that's how it works. And like, it at least for me really helps disrupt that part of my mind that says, you're fucked, like, you know, and like everything's ruined and it's always going to be this way. And, you know, if you understand cycles and how that works and how your own rhythm works in life too, you know, we're all nuanced and different. So these are sort of beautiful frameworks, but like, you know, there is this process with it. And with the nodes, there's a 3-year development period. So you've got the thesis, the first year, the antithesis, the second year, and the third year is synthesis. You know, whenever we're dealing with a trinity, that's the process. And because this is a 9-year cycle, we work on threes. And so, you know, if like I'm 36, so I'm on a 3-year. So this is a synthesis year for me. And, you know, we can kind of help understand what's going on and what the soul is trying to share with us when we at least have that framework to see it through. It feels a little less, you know, testing, I think, and gives you something to feel that you can rely on.
Absolutely. And I wanted to, I think we may have touched on this a little bit, but what do you think some of the clear invitations, obviously different for everyone in our own way, but what are some of the clear invitations that you see through these eclipses taking place, like what they are?
For basically like the, like what a Taurus opening kind of would be, or?
I suppose, yeah, I really appreciate the perspective of astrology within each transit holding an invitation within it. Like if you sit within it long enough, or if you really surrender to it, that you get like this little piece of gold almost. Like you get that reward, you understand where you're being led to, or where you're opening, or, you know, where the sun kind of begins to shine and it all begins to make sense, I suppose. I think we did touch on this, but just for the sake of like clearly listing out, I think it is what the higher octave of Taurus has to offer, right? Those invitations that are within this season.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get illuminated into a new path. You know, eclipses are always going to offer you that and an old path closing. So, you know, you're on these like 6-month waves where a different, depending on which sign it is, it's going to open up a different area. Mm-hmm. And you can look in your own chart as well and see, at least for this eclipse, like where is Taurus and where is Scorpio? Because that house that it's in your chart is where it's going to be more personal to you. So, you know, the Taurus invitation is really around being able to bring deeper nourishment, beauty, luxury, nature, embodiment into your life. And when I say pleasure or luxury, like that is from the deepest, truest sense of that word. Luxury does not mean that it cost $1 million. Mm-hmm. I think of it more from a sense of deep presence, you know, like when there's so much generosity and focus and being like in it, in that moment, there's a natural luxury that opens up in time because you're so present and you can appreciate the minutia of it all, like the little things, you know. And with Taurus, because it is nature and it is the body and it is the material world, we're really being invited to understand that the spiritual, unlimited, unbounded world and spiritual essence, the sacredness, is reflected through the material world. And that's not from an hedonistic or materialistic perspective, but from a true understanding that, you know, all that is inside of that leaf, inside of that turtle, inside of your body. You know, like there is this absolute beauty and perfection inside of the material world as reflected from the non-material world, Scorpio. And so, you know, that is the reawakening of the feminine on this planet. We are all being invited, every single gender that there is being invited to reclaim and reawaken the feminine, which is that nourishment, that beauty, that luxury, and understanding how to embody the divine instead of seeing a separation between the divine and the material world as we more modernly see things as separate. So it kind of brings the magic to the mundane and is giving us that space to heal the wounds inside of the feminine and the way that may be reflected in your own love experiences, money, your body, your relationship to nature. Like, it's going to get opened up there. And, you know, also to say that in eclipses, because remember, life comes through them, and that can be a death of something or someone, but it also can be a birth of something or someone. So you can have people from the past, and that can be past lives or past from this lifetime, coming through unexpectedly. You can also have new people coming in that you've never met in this life that you're aware of, who are there to help lead you into that next space, you know? So if anyone is leaving in this period, whether that's a breakup or a death or just saying goodbye for whatever reason, you know, trust that they are they've done their work. They've done their job with you. They've taken you as far as they can. And we have to let go so that there's the space for something and or someone new to come in to guide you into that next point and to really trust that you are cared for and that they are coming. And also that, like, that might just be inside of you, you know, like it, anything outside is a reflection of inside. So it doesn't have, it can be a, like for me, it's like, Georgia's dying and Issa's being born. And like Georgia took me as far as she could. And now in order for me to really rebirth and reclaim myself wholly, that's something only Issa can do. And so she's being birthed. There's a death and a birth happening inside of me all at one time right now. And, you know, it's not good or bad. It just, it's the shift of what's evolving. So, you know, feel into what are those, because it's all really opportunities, no matter what it looks like. You're being cared for, but it can show up in a way that might feel uncomfortable or super like exciting and dynamic. So, but you know that that's all momentary emotions and that it's all beyond that too, you know, like trust that there's a bigger process in the background that's supporting you ultimately, regardless of what it looks like in this moment.
And what is some of the, are there any other transits that are really adding to the overall tapestry of this eclipse season?
Well, especially for the partial South Node solar eclipse in Scorpio that's happening on October 25th. Mm-hmm. That's going to be our first one. We have Mars retrograde just about to come. It's about 5 days later. But there are very important Mars transits that are inside of that particular eclipse. And should I talk a little bit about what that eclipse is and then I can kind of connect it with that transit?
Yeah, sure.
So when we're dealing with a solar eclipse, that means that the moon is blocking the sun. And so this symbolically distorts the solar energy, which is like spirit. You know, when to also say, you know, when we're talking about eclipses, I know we talked about it being all of the relativity between the sun, the moon, and Earth, but it very much is this relationship between the sun and the moon. And the sun is spiritual energy and the moon is soul energy. So, you know, it's beyond masculine and feminine. That's really more Mars and Venus. But the luminaries, which are the sun and the moon, it's really spirit and soul. And so when we have the solar eclipse, our solar spiritual purpose is being highlighted, and the needs of our ego. And our inner child and our different past tendencies can really be confronted during this period where we get emotional shocks that can bring us the clarity around our different feelings of lack and, you know, confusion around what we're here to do. So this is a new moon. So we're in a new cycle and we're really getting confronted by our past emotional tendencies that have kept us stunted or feeling powerless or weak or unable to move forward. So this is a period where we're really trying to probe deep into our psyche and to understand all of our different complexes and ways in which we are feeling lack, or where we're just highly ingrained and patterned in different kinds of distortions from our wounding. And how can we actually, you know, come into a deeper communion with our higher self so that we can have that honest conversation around what is really sort of messing up our communication because of that emotionally wounded distortion that's kind of coming in. And so this gives us the space to really look at that shadow, look at that scared inner child that's hiding in that shadow and coming in to comfort them and really doing the reparenting work that's going to allow you to deal with those deeper fears and memories and past experiences that it's time to clear them. It's time to discard them so that you can bridge and reconnect to your natural power. Like that's kind of what's getting open up in this first solar eclipse. And there's a Mars retrograde that's connected to that. So Mars is in Gemini. Mars is the lower octave of our soul, Pluto. And so Mars is the energy that does the work that the soul, Pluto, wants to be done. And so, you know, the moon is also has kind of that soul energy to it. And, you know, they kind of are all working together so that Mars goes and takes the action on the earth to get them done for them. And so, you know, in Gemini, we're thinking about communication, brothers and sisters, our local community, all of the ways in which we're trying to connect. And when we've got Mars there, there can be an overly aggressive way in which we've approached communication. And also, Mars and Gemini can be really scattered. So we can really feel kind of, I don't even know where to put my energy or how to take action on this because I have so many ideas and so many thoughts and everything sounds like it could be good, but I don't really know. And just kind of getting lost in all of that mental jibber jabber, which can be really confusing. And this this Mars energy has a grand trine with Saturn in Aquarius and Mercury in Libra. So this is a really stabilizing kind of aspect, the grand trine, where we're getting this like flow of energy between all of the air signs, Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. And so we're trying to really stabilize some of this energy and understand how to come into a more future patterning with our communication that takes all people into account, that Aquarius energy expanded into the community, and that Mercury in Libra wants to bring in the beautiful way to say it, the diplomatic way to say it, the harmonizing way to say it, so that we can get a new sort of flow and system of how we speak and communicate in our relationship so that we actually get the kind of relationship that we want. You know, so much of it, again, those emotional distortions in how we've learned how to do it that are actually keeping us from what we always were attempting to find. So that's going to really kind of come up. And that retrograde period, which will happen for 3 months, it'll be till mid-January with Mars, you're really going to get to go inward on the first couple of months of this and really get to see, you know, take the pause, take the quiet, don't choose action, choose inner action, you know, investigating the self, journaling, really asking, you know, what is keeping me stunted? What is keeping me scared from speaking my truth? Where it then comes out super aggressive or scattered or frenetic and, you know, disoriented in some fashion, and is keeping me from what I was attempting to really connect through and communicate on. So this is going to give some really great opportunity to understand what needs to be reparented so that you can become more self-reliant and have better power dynamics in your relationships.
Mm. That was beautifully said. I might, when this is over, I might take out those little questions that you put, that you gave, and put them in the show notes so that people can journal on them if they feel called to. So that's the first solar eclipse that's taking place. Can you tell us a little bit about the Taurus lunar eclipse in November?
Yeah. So on November 8th, we have a north node lunar eclipse, and it's a total eclipse in Taurus. So in this scenario, we have the Earth's shadow blocking the light of the sun from reaching the moon. And so that's a lunar eclipse, and those happen on full moons, and they help us complete the shift that opened up at the solar eclipse a couple weeks before. So, you know, that door is going to open. We're going to feel a lot of that wounding. We're going to potentially feel kind of shocked with it. And, you know, there can be some jarring awakenings that occur for you. And then when we get into the lunar total eclipse, we're going to start, you know, it's oppositional energy. It's a full moon, which means that the sun is opposite to the moon. And so we can feel very torn between the past that we see dying, leaving us, letting go from that, and this future that hasn't quite fully opened up yet. So we're kind of in between worlds in that way, which can be really, you know, ungrounding and can make us feel really scared. And so, like I said, you know, we're in survival axes. So what are those survival techniques that you have currently? Because they're probably going to get provoked. And I bet that there are some of them that really are not serving you and don't need to stick around. So those will probably be the ones that end up in some kind of cataclysmic situation, whether that's a huge argument or something else that comes up to make you realize, like, oh, that is a problem. You know, I need to stop with that. And so there can be some real sudden surprises and realizations that will come over the course of those weeks. And, you know, this is a time where you can really process and clear to, like, work with that south node of Scorpio and allow those lower vibrations where you control and contract and manipulate and are deceitful and, you know, all of the ways that you kind of chaotically deal with your fear. This is a time where they can really flush, where you can close that door and you can allow them to leave. And I mean, that's like not a small thing, and it's not something that's probably going to happen in one instant, but, you know, we've been working with these eclipses for a year. They started coming in last November in this nodal axis. And so, you know, this is going to be the second set of them, third. And so there's usually a connection between all of these. You can look back to the other eclipses that occurred in late April, early May, and then the other one was in November as well last year. So you can kind of connect those points to give you an idea of what is the next level of that letting go process that will come. And that's kind of the grace that is multiple transits happening on the same thing, because, you know, there's like this whole thing that needs to change. And if you only have one go at it, then it's going to be so intense. But if you have two or three passes, then it gets to be broken up between that. And so mm-hmm. it's a little kinder, and it doesn't have to be so shocking. I actually find it to be a more graceful way of growth when it's a little slower. You know, as much as we want everything right now, it's actually generous that we don't get it all at once, because even when you get what you want, it can be like really jarring, you know, and to actually be able to keep that, to be able to use it well and to not ruin it because you're so shocked or whatever, like, you know, it's good to give yourself time for the upgrade. And this in particular is a really important time to be generous with yourself. And I would invite you to treat yourself as your own lover. You know, what would your ideal partner do for you? Would they draw you a long bath? Would they play with your hair? How would they be gentle with you? How would they nourish you and care for you and make you feel loved? Do that for you. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the self-sufficiency of Taurus. So become your own best lover and give yourself the room to journal and to stare at the moon and mm-hmm. walk in the crisp air of the changing of the seasons and, you know, notice the air in your skin and notice all of these different things that are coming up that are really aiming to help you heal your trauma around power and powerlessness, mm-hmm. your OCDs, your attachment to chaos, you know, your attachment to drama, your attachment to always needing more and more and more. And you know, this is the opportunity to come into simple pleasures and the simple peace that comes from that and actual satisfaction. So really give yourself that gentleness with this next moon on November 8th so that you can give yourself the space to process all that comes up with a little more grace. Yeah. And this particular eclipse has Uranus conjunct the moon. So, you know, like I was saying, Uranus has kind of the energy of eclipses, meaning that they're sudden, instant change, and they can be very jarring. So the fact that this one is also total and with the planet Uranus means that it's going to be a real showstopper. So like Uranus is the nervous system. So really, really do everything that you can to protect your nervous system, whether that's with really nourishing, grounding food, massage, you know, all of those baths that I was mentioning, or whatever like brings the exhale and the release to your nervous system so that you feel safe and calm. Because mm-hmm. if you are going to be able to process this, you need to have the emotional coolness and detachment that you can actually be the observer in this situation and get out of the emotional distortion of Scorpio. You know, you've got to have a little bit of that distance so that you can witness what you're doing objectively, not mm-hmm. blaming yourself or making yourself wrong, but coming into that understanding and to get out of your triggered mode. So I would really say, you know, Mars will be retrograde at this point. Like, again, you're going to get triggered. This is a time for pausing. Do your best to not make too many decisions before mid-January. Like, give yourself that much time, like 3-month window of really kind of exhaling and stepping back before you start to move forward. It'll be, well worth it, and is ultimately, you know, the welcoming of that feminine. The feminine is inward and it doesn't necessarily have answers, you know, always wanting to know what to do, always wanting to know what decision to make, having answers in all of those different ways and clarity, like that's the masculine, that's the sun. But a reawakening of the feminine, of the soul, of the mysteries, of the shadow, of the darkness, like this is a time to be able to learn how to sit in that and live in that and still feel safe, you know, because that is what's going to allow you to be resilient and self-reliant and to be able to resource yourself so that you actually are fully embodied in that power and ability to do things different on this next phase of your life.
There was so much goodness in that. I felt myself exhaling that entire time. See, thank you for really bringing that medicine in. I really do think it will be so supportive for so many throughout the season that we've just started.
Yeah. I hope people give us some feedback and let us know how things are going as they work with all of that. There's a lot of work to be done in the next couple of months, it feels like, but it can be the really juicy kind, and it can be like ultimately so nourishing. I feel very hopeful for myself and for all of us as we go through the rest of this nodal axis transit and really learn how to really own ourselves and ground deep in ourselves. Like, we all need that a lot more in the world right now. Like, so as we individually do that work, you know, it's going to be such a gift collectively. And then once the nodes switch into Aries, because the nodes actually move backwards. So while the rest of the zodiac goes, you know, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, etc., the nodes go the other way. So we were in Gemini before, and now we're in Taurus, and then it'll go into Aries. So it's like once we go into Aries, it's really owning the self. This is who I am. And so, you know, but to be able to get into that from a place of like grounded power and knowing how to resource yourself, like that is a powerful way to enter into Aries land. So, you know, we're going to just keep working on relationships too, you know, because that's the real relationship axes, although Taurus Scorpio absolutely is as well, but in a different way. So, you know, we're kind of in relationship mode for a while. And so expect your relationships to change and shift and to show you where your growth lies and help you level up, really.
That's amazing. Oh, I feel like you kind of brought that together in a really, for me, hopeful, nourishing, and like there just seems to be so many gifts laying within all of the movement taking place. And I feel like you really brought that through. So thank you for that. We hit the hour mark, which was our intention to bring it all together in an hour. Yes. So unless there's anything else that you wanted to mention, we can leave it at that.
Well, I've kind of said this, but just to sort of wrap it up around like what to lean into until July while we're in these nodal axes and kind of what's going to come up through your eclipses. Like, this is really a major time for you to be doing any kind of trauma-informed therapy work, really working with your shadow, working on reparenting, a beautiful time to do different kinds of somatic healing as well. So maybe somatic experiencing or other forms of body work and learning how to come deeper into our bodies, to feel safe in our bodies, for our body to be a container that we understand how to care for and love and to nourish. And this is also a really important time to get your money sorted. Yeah. You know, pay attention to how you spend money, how you invest it, how you grow it, you know, so that it's not just a draining force, but something that knows how to naturally keep rebuilding itself because of the smart systems that you incorporated into it. So like, let's get our money together, you know, like that's part of how you feel self-reliant and worthy and that you're adulting like really hard. Like I know how to really do money in the smartest way possible with the system that we currently have, you know, like, so really get used to talking about money and doing it in a different way. And then, you know, really working around power dynamics in our relationships and really pondering, how am I giving my power away? What is it that I'm either trying to dominate or I'm allowing to be dominated? And really looking into those sorts of dynamics that are draining your life force. And ultimately, it's all about becoming your own resource. And resourcing is also a technique and a tool in trauma-informed therapy. So resourcing is like, there's a lot of different ways that you can resource, but an example of it, which can really help you if you're dealing with complex trauma or dissociative symptoms, is, you know, you can think about a place that brings you peace and calm. You know, maybe the ocean is something that really brings a lot of healing for you. If you've been to an ocean or you've at least seen an image of it that brought that kind of tranquility, that you can resource that image and really allow yourself to feel it, 5D, smell it, hear it, taste it, the sounds of it, like all of it, so that you feel like you are there, so that you can calm that nervous system, you can drop back into your body, you don't have to leave your body, and you can still feel safe. So, you know, there's a lot of different kinds of resourcing you can do. That's just one example, but I highly suggest looking into that further so that you understand how to actually leave that chaotic nature of Scorpio and find the peace of Taurus. It's, you know, we're also addicted to chaos. I certainly am with my South Node there. And, you know, like, how can you actually allow peace to come into your life? Like, that's a great quandary. And how are you keeping it from entering, you know? So all of those are hopefully tools that you can bring in to support you in the next wave of this eclipse.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much for bringing those in. All right, we might leave it there then. If anyone has any questions, like, we're available. You can email us, reach out to us on Instagram. Georgia, I'm so sorry, Issa, I'm still wrapping my mind around it. Issa is offering personal astrology readings as well. And so that is an option if you really want to explore the relationship between your chart and the eclipses and other transits that are going on. So you can, that's on our website. Otherwise, I really hope that the beauty that is present within this season does present itself to you in the way that you need. And like Issa so beautifully suggested, lean into those practices that are calming, grounding, supporting. Know that you do have those resources within yourself. They are available, and you can really, like I always, for me, use the example of be both the child and the parent. I can feel all of the fear and the scarcity and the unknown that comes with those. And I can also bring that calm and that support and that structure to myself at the same time, so we can be both for ourselves.
Absolutely. You know, and I think that that's part of reclaiming your power, is like when you start developing that toolkit that absolutely nobody or any circumstance can take away from you. Mm. You know, they don't cost any money. They take very little time, and they're always available for you. And then, you know, you can deal with any situation as it comes. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, what is happening, you are grounded within yourself. So I hope that that finds you through this eclipse process. And if you're in the membership, I hope to see you on our full moon circles as well that I also lead. So hope to see you there.
Great. Thank you so much, Issa. This has been really beautiful.
Thank you, Jordan. Have a wonderful day.
You too.